Your program feature will begin in just a moment. First, a reminder, we have a Bible Institute here at BBN. At bbnradio.org, just click Bible Institute.
Hey, how's that home building project going? Well, let BBN help you as you build a strong family to the glory of God. Welcome to Building Blocks for the Family. Our guest is Jerry Lancaster. Is the Christian life just for adults? Or should young people be challenged and equipped to stand for Christ and follow Him day by day? Think about that as we hear today Jerry Lancaster and the special world of teens.
Let me give you these three essentials. These are three things that you're going to have to build into your life during your teenage years if you're going to be spiritually successful and if you are going to be successful in life. These are three foundational things that you're going to have. Now remember, you have this 7-year period of time, roughly, to develop these three areas. And here they are. Number one, self-understanding. Number two, self-esteem. Number three, self-development. You must have those three things if you are going to transition into adulthood. Let me explain what I mean by these three areas. Number one, self-understanding. When you were in the Awana group or when you were a child, your world was pretty much interpreted by your parents. Not totally, but you were greatly influenced by your parents. It is interesting how many children, if you ask them, what particular political party are you? They'll say the same thing their parents say. Or if you ask them about another particular subject, they often say the same thing that their parents say. What do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a policeman. What's your daddy? He's a policeman. There's nothing wrong with that. But we are greatly influenced by our parents. It's not bad. It's just that's just kind of the way life is. Now that you are in your teenage years, you need to come to self-understanding. Who am I? What am I like? How has God created me? What do I think? You need to come to a self-understanding. That is, you need to know yourself. And if you don't, if you do not come to understand who you are and how God has created you, then you will struggle through the rest of your life. Self-understanding. But there's a second area. Self-worth. Or we could use the word self-esteem. Let me put a footnote here because there may be some theologically oriented person who may think that I do not understand theology as it relates to salvation and other subjects, when in reality I do. I am not talking about self-esteem theology as it relates to soteriology. That's not what I'm talking about. That's a totally different subject. What I'm talking about is during the teenage years, you must come to an understanding of what am I worth? What is my value? What do I think of me? In other words, what does God think of me? It is important that we have self-worth. By the way, this is the introductory message. All of these subjects we will eventually go back to as we look at Bible characters. And I'll share with you just a little bit tonight of what happens when you don't have self-worth. There's a certain behavior that you begin to engage in when you don't like yourself. All of us during our teenage years need to come to a self-worth, self-esteem, self-understanding, self-esteem, self-development. What is that? Well, what can I do? And what do I do? And what am I going to do? During the teenage years, we begin to sort out kind of what we're going to do. Now, that doesn't mean that we always, you know, resolve everything during our teenage years. But look, the facts are that most of us choose a college when we get toward the end of our teenage years. Or you choose a business or a trade school or something. So notice you do begin to make decisions about your self-development. What can I do? By the way, my wife has some interesting statements that she makes, and one of them is, you go to college to find out what you don't want to do. I think there's a lot of truth to that. You go to college to find out what you don't want to do. Now, not everybody changes. But good grief, I started out in pre-law. Then went into business, got a business degree, and became a pastor. So I went to college to find out what I didn't want to do. But you have to, at some point in those years, begin to think about, what do I do with how God has made me and what He thinks of me? What do I do with that? So those are the three areas. Self-understanding, what am I like? Self-esteem, what am I worth? Self-development, what can I do? Everybody in the teen years needs to begin to resolve those three questions. Chuck Swindoll, who pastors in Frisco, Texas, the Dallas area, makes this statement, and I think it says it so well. The job of a parent is to help our teens come to know themselves, grow to like themselves, and find satisfaction in being themselves. That's what we want. We want you to know yourself. We also want you to grow to like yourself. And we want you to find satisfaction in being yourself. For this to happen, you need balance in four areas. And the first Bible character that we're going to study today is Jesus the teenager. You say, that Jesus the teenager? The passage we're going to go to is one that is not often taught on or preached from. Did you know that the Bible does tell us a little bit about Jesus being in middle school and high school? You go, whoa, really? True. Now, they didn't call it middle school and high school. But we're going to pick up a passage, and Jesus at that point would be in our middle school youth ministry. I don't know who his youth leaders would be, or connecting group leaders. And I'm not sure I would want to be Jesus' connecting group leader, personally. But we're going to pick him up in middle school. Would you turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter? The Gospel of Luke, the second chapter. Now, as you turn to that, we are going to look at a description of how Jesus Christ grew during his teenage years. How did he grow? This chapter and this passage has a lot to do with his humanity, probably more than a declaration of his deity. If you look at Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 39, it says, "And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee and to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." And I circled in my Bible the child. At that point, Jesus is a child. He's an awana. He's a He is a child. He's in childhood at that particular point in his life. Now, if you keep your finger here, because we'll come right back to it, and just turn the page, look at chapter 3, verse 23. So that you get the time frame of Jesus' life, circle verse 23 where it says, "And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age." Now he's 30. In between his childhood and chapter 3, verse 23, is a description of some things that took place between his childhood and being age 30. And you're going to see that this is going to be his middle school and teenage years, and of course it would extend into his 20s. So, we're going to look at Jesus in middle school, high school, and college. That's the bracket that this passage fits. Now, go back, turn the page back to verse 41. And let me begin reading through verse 49. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, there it is, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. Now stop there. He's 12 years of age. I'm not sure what grade that would put him if he was in our grading system. Middle school? Probably somewhere around that bracket. When he was this particular age, his parents took him up to the feast. This is being told to us because of some important information that we need to know about the Jewish community and how they trained their children who now come into their teenage years. Let me quote from what I think is an insightful commentary on the Gospel of Luke, written by William Arndt. Listen to what he says. When a Jewish boy was 12 years old, now the Talmud says at the age of puberty, so it could be 12, it could be 13, right in that bracket. He went through a special ceremony and was formally and officially acknowledged as a son of the law. Now, if you don't know the Hebrew language, you wouldn't recognize that terminology, but the word son in Hebrew is the word bar. The word law, or commandments, is the word mitzvah. Thus, Jewish people refer to when their children now are no longer children, but they come to their teenage years, they have a ceremony called bar mitzvah. Interesting that the Holy Spirit picks us up at the point of Jesus at age 12. Now, what does that mean? Arndt goes on to explain. At that age, Jesus was supposed, or the young man was supposed to have learned enough to be sufficiently mature to follow the mandates of the law of God himself. When you get to middle school and to your high school years, something changes in your responsibility. Yes, you're still in your parents' home, and so you know that there are some things that are going to be expected of you. They're probably going to say, "We do go to church on Sunday. We want you involved in such and such." But there are some differences which begin to happen. When you get to that age, and it may not be 12, it could be 14, it could be whatever in there. There are some things that you now are responsible for in a different way than before. We can tell you to memorize the verses for Awana, but when you get to age 12, when you get to bar mitzvah, by the way, for the women, for the girls, it's the word bat mitzvah. Bar meaning son, daughter, bat, so bat mitzvah. They now are responsible to obey the laws of God because you're old enough to obey those laws, and somebody should not have to tell you to do right and to shun wrong. Now, we as parents need to realize that that's where you are. You should realize, as a teenager, take the responsibility. It's not I'm doing this because Dad told me to do it or my mom forces me to do it. You should now be obeying God because you're old enough to obey God. And nobody should have to tell you to obey God. You've come to bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah. You're a son of the commandments. You are responsible in a different way than you've ever been responsible before. Now, it's interesting to me that sometimes teenagers make bad decisions and then blame their parents. Bar mitzvah would say, you're to blame. We do all that we can do to guide you and to give you the information and to help you, but you must be accountable. When Jesus was 12 years old, they took him, and John MacArthur puts it this way. At this age, most boys celebrated their first feast, about 12 or 13 years of age, in preparation for the rite of passage of Bar Mitzvah. Let's read on. Verse 43, and when they had returned, or fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, assuming or supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. They traveled a day's journey from Jerusalem, and they started looking for him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And they could not find him. They turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass, for 3 days they searched. After 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and answering them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? You know, where were you? Why didn't you tell us where you were going? Your father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Can you picture these parents weeping, thinking, has someone taken our son? I mean, you cannot imagine what that would feel like. And if you watch any of the news media broadcasts, eventually you're going to see broken-hearted, grieving parents who do not know where their children are. In some cases, sadly, they have been kidnapped or they have been abused. But you'll never, until you become a parent, you will never know the pain that we go through when we are not sure where you are. And that goes for Friday or Saturday night. You see, we trust, we give you privileges, we give you, we want you to enjoy being with your friends and doing things, but we also expect you to assume the responsibilities of those privileges. Well, Jesus responds to his parents by saying, how is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? And when I read that, do you know what I hear? Self-understanding, self-worth, self-development. Do you know what else when I look at that passage, what I think of? They said to him, we just didn't know where you were, and when we finally found you, what are you doing? And he said, well, didn't you know I need to be about my Father's business? I know why I came here to earth. I know what I'm supposed to do. Self-understanding, self-worth, Self-responsibility. And here's what else. When I read that passage, I say to myself, did you know that many times we as parents don't understand you, teenagers? Nor did Jesus' parents. We just don't understand. It's not that we're against you, or that we want to curtail you, or we want to force you into this mold. We sometimes really just don't understand. I think because we're in a different generation than you are, and naturally the culture is different. And you hear us say things like, well, it wasn't that way when I was your age. Well, that's why. I think we as parents need to take a breath, and we need to say to ourselves, we may not fully understand our children, but let's listen to them. Would you do us a favor? Would you just communicate with us? Would you just talk with us? If we say, well, you know, what were you doing? I thought you were going to be home by 12:30. What were you? Oh no. Look, if you act like a robot, we're gonna talk to you like you're a robot. I mean, communicate with us. Explain to us a little bit. Don't you want us to explain things to you? Well, sure. You know, why do we go to church here? Why do we do this? By the way, moms and dads, just because our kids question us, we don't need to feel threatened. They are going to ask questions. That asking questions isn't wrong. During the teenage years, you may be asking questions like, you know, Dad, how do we know there's a God? Don't freak out. It's like, where'd you get that? You know, who's been talking to you? See, all that does is disrespect them. It's natural. There's nothing wrong with that. Look, moms and dads, didn't you ever ask yourself, I wonder if there's a God? Or I wonder what God is like? Or how do I know the Bible is the Word of God? There's nothing wrong with asking the questions. So in this passage, we see Jesus beginning to move out of childhood toward adulthood, going through those teenage years. Now watch. They understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Now watch. Here we go. If we're going to have self-understanding, self-worth, and self-development, there are four areas that we need to grow in. Four areas. All teenagers need to grow in these four areas. Number one, Jesus increased in wisdom. Number two, stature. Three, in favor with God. And four, in favor with man. He grew how? In wisdom, mentally. In stature, physically. In favor with God, spiritually. And in favor with man, socially. He got along and understood human nature. Those are the four areas that you need to grow in. If you're going to transition out of your teenage years into adulthood and do it successfully, you've got to grow in those four areas. Not just one area and neglect the other. Oh, I grew in favor with people. Hey, I'm sociable. I love having a great time with my friends. Yeah, well, do you love God? God who? Don't talk to me about the Bible. Not fair. That's not fair, because we as parents have the responsibility to see to it that you grow in those four areas. Jesus' humanity was as perfect as his deity was complete. He's both God and man. To grow in those four areas is what it means to be Christ-like. Did you ever say, if your parents said to you, well, this is what I want you to do, or this is what we're going to do at church, or this is what I want you to do as far as the youth ministry or something, some responsibility they give to you, and you respond by saying, I don't want to follow people. I want to be a follower of Jesus. That's not wrong. I want to be Christ-like. That's not wrong. But you know what it means to be Christ-like? Luke 2:52. You grow in four areas. Mentally, physically, spiritually, and socially. Is it surprising that when the Apostle Paul writes to the moms and dads, he brings up the same four areas? So this is directed maybe more to those of us who are parents. It's for all of us, really. But I got one more verse to give you. I want you to see that verse. Would you turn to the book of Romans, the 12th chapter? I want you to see these four areas in what Paul says to the Roman believers. If I'm going to be a follower of Christ, or if I'm going to be like Jesus Christ, I need to grow in four areas. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. There it is. There's the first one. Jesus grew how? Physically. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Ah, there it is. Socially, your relationship to other people. Jesus grew in favor with man. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's number three. How did Jesus grow? He grew in wisdom. Mentally. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, he grew in favor with God. All four of them are in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We grow four ways. Physically, socially, we grow mentally, and we grow spiritually. When Jesus grew, that's how he grew. If you're a teen, you don't have to follow me, and you don't have to be like me, and you really technically don't have to be like your mom and dad, but you do have to be like Christ. And I have no problem with you saying, I want to be Christ-like. I want to be like Jesus. You need to have balance.
The Special World of Teens. That was Jerry Lancaster. You've been listening to Building Blocks for the Family from the Bible Broadcasting Network, helping you build a strong family to the glory of God. For more information on getting a copy of today's broadcast, you can visit us at bbnradio.org. Go to the program schedule and then click on Building Blocks for the Family. bbnradio.org.
That concludes the online feature. By the way, BBN is on social media. Connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.